listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft. Play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game. The first contest is live now. Sign up at ClevelandBrowns.com today. It's basically you make investments on guys you think are going to be drafted ahead of their current value or guys who you think will fall below. You can short those guys and get the best portfolio for your team to make the most money. That's the way that it goes, and it's fun. Play the draft right now at ClevelandBrowns.com today. Joined now by CBSSports.com. Draft guru Dane Brugler. Dane, always good to talk to you, especially now just 3 weeks until draft day. Welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Well, thank you, guys. How are you gentlemen doing?
We are doing very well, very well. And in honor of the 3 weeks until the draft, we're taking a look at the Browns' first three picks, number 4, 26, and 35. I know in your latest mock draft, you have it going Johnny Manziel, Kyle Fuller, and then at 35, Dante Moncrief, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. I like that flow. If it was me, I would go Bridgewater, Fuller, and then Allen Robinson. Talk a little bit about what you would do if it's any different than your mock draft if you were the general manager of the Browns with those first three picks.
Well, I think you and I are thinking similar there. Teddy Bridgewater is my top quarterback. You talk to people around the league, and the biggest criticism you get is just his frame, his, you know, slender shoulders,
sure,
narrow build, you know, can he hold up, that type of thing. And really, if that's the biggest concern with him, this is a guy, he's not Johnny Manziel where he's going to take a lot of hits. You know, he's not scrambling around. I mean, he has mobility, but it's efficient mobility. And so if that's the biggest criticism, then I feel okay with that. You know, I love what he brings to the field above the neck, the way he retains information, digests it, and then executes it on the field. To me, Teddy Bridgewater, top quarterback in this draft, a guy that I'm going to war with, and I feel pretty good about that. But, you know, I think a lot of NFL teams don't necessarily agree, and so we could see Teddy, slip down the draft boards a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up on draft day. But, you know, looking at the Browns at number 4, obviously quarterback is definitely in play. If Johnny Manziel is on the board, I think number 3 to Jacksonville, number 4 to Cleveland, I think is a very, very likely scenario he ends up at one of those two spots.
What is it about Johnny Manziel, Dane, when you, because in so many of these mocks, you're trying to do what GMs do and match the player up to where the fit would be. It doesn't seem to me, just given the head coach, Mike Pettine, the defensive-minded approach that he would take, the idea that he'd want his quarterback to be as much manager as playmaker. How do you see Manziel making the transition to that kind of game, which is so different from what he did in college?
Sure, and you know, really, the quarterback position is all about getting it right. You have to find that right guy, and everyone has to be on board with it. And so, you know, talking with Ray, talking with Mike, and talking with everyone, in the building, they're going to have to decide, is there a guy out there they all agree is kind of the guy that's going to be the face of the franchise, the guy that, you know, can lead you to double-digit wins. And what Manziel brings is just that competitive nature. He's a very smart kid, and he brings, you know, those natural instincts that, they're hard to quantify. You know, you can talk about 40 time and the Wunderlic and, you know, those things you can put on, put numbers to them. But when you talk about the natural instincts, those are things that, you kind of have to gauge based on what you see. And those natural traits are very important. And so I think, just from a competitive drive standpoint, Manziel tests off the charts, and he has exactly what you want from that standpoint. So I think that's really the draw with a guy like Johnny Manziel. Obviously, you know, he has a different skill set where he's going to be – it's in his football DNA to kind of scramble – hold the ball until the last possible second, get outside the pocket. You know, he really needs to work on staying tough in the pocket, not escaping at the first sign of pressure. But I think he can, you know, do some work from inside the pocket and become more of a pocket passer. He's a very smart kid, like I said. So, you know, it's not an easy thing to learn. But at the same time, I'm not going to put it past Johnny that he can't do it. I still think Manziel, you know, is very much in the conversation at 4.
Dane, let's talk 26 and talk the cornerback position. I like Kyle Fuller a lot as well. I think he can be that kind of press man corner to complement Joe Hayden. Talk about a little bit some of the other corners that would be available there, who you like best for the Browns, and then knowing they want a guy to be a press man corner, should they elect to wait on the cornerback position till 71 or 83, who are some of the guys that they could target in that third round?
Yeah, and it just depends on who's the board, who falls to them. And this draft is so deep that we're going to see some players, maybe slip a little bit that maybe you didn't really think they would. So if a Darquez Bernard from Michigan State, if he's still on the board, he makes a lot of sense. You mentioned Kyle Fuller. I'm with you. I love what Fuller brings to the field. He's rangy, light-footed, quick movements, long arms. He has that aggressive mentality you want. He can play man. He can play zone. The game comes very natural to him, and that's something that's so important. When you're looking at the cornerback position, leaving them out on an island and trusting that they can hold up. So I feel really good about him. Jason Verrett, another guy, doesn't have the size you want, but he's a tough, tough kid. And then you're talking about in maybe the third round range, guys like Jalen Watkins out of Florida, Philip Gaines out of Rice, Pierre Desir out of Lindenwood. Yep. These are all guys that I think are in that conversation. And so you have to look at kind of, who's available at that 26th pick. Maybe a guy that they have highly rated who they didn't think would fall did, and so you're still talking about taking the best player available at 26. Not necessarily it has to be a need, but taking the best player available, and that might be a corner, might be wide receiver, might be a different position. We'll have to see, but I think definitely corner is in that range when you're talking about taking your first three or four picks.
Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com draft guru, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dane, what sort of buzz are you hearing surrounding this draft, the trade talk? Seems to me this extra time, these extra couple of weeks that the draft has before it starts compared to previous years, the later start, has maybe given way to much more discussion and maybe even overthought on a lot of these maneuvers. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And, it's obviously there's pros and cons to having a draft later on. Obviously, it allows some guys like a Dominic Easley out of Florida who had two ACL injuries on his resume. It allows a guy like that to work out today. Scouts still get a chance to see him before the draft. So, it helps a few guys out. But like you mentioned, if people don't have anything to talk about, they're going to kind of create something to talk about. And so Aaron Murray had his pro day yesterday. I talked to a few people that were there. I talked to a quarterback coach that was there, and he was impressed with the way he moved. He said the knee looks completely healed, but his arm strength did also kind of it wobbled a little bit with the wind that was going on in Georgia. So some mixed reviews from Aaron Murray yesterday. And then, really the intrigue is at the top of this draft. And you look at the Houston Texans at one, I think they would consider moving out of that pick. If they stay at one, I think Clowney is the guy. I was on the Bortles train for a long time. What I hear from what the signs I get from Houston is Clowney will be the guy if they stay at one. Now, I think it's possible they can move back a few spots and possibly take a Khalil Mack or someone like that. But if they stay at one, I think the pick is Clowney. And then really at number two, you're really looking at, okay, the Rams, can they trade out of that? Because they want to trade out of that spot as well. They're definitely open for business. And same thing with Jacksonville at three. So really going to be interesting, the first three picks. And obviously the Browns are going to be watching intently to see who goes 1, 2, 3. If the Browns go quarterback at four, obviously that won't be a surprise. But if they decide to pass on a quarterback, maybe try to get a Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo at 26 or 35, then I think you're talking about Khalil Mack at four. One guy I think you have to consider, and I think everyone's kind of locked into Sammy Watkins as that top receiver. Mike Evans is a guy who, there's quite a few teams out there who like him. I know there's three teams for sure that I can say with a fact they like him over Sammy Watkins. So I don't think you can rule Mike Evans out, possibly going number four as kind of an off the wall pick that maybe no one's really talking about.
Yeah, Dane, I agree with you there. I have Mike Evans and Sammy Watkins rated just about the same for me. He's got a bigger body, can be a winner on those jump ball situations, and is somebody who, to me, is a very impressive receiver. And when you watch the Manziel tape, I think he's something that stands out, how much better he made Johnny Manziel and allowed Johnny Manziel to win sometimes when perhaps he shouldn't have won with some of the passes that he threw. You talked about Garoppolo. You talked about Carr. for the later quarterbacks of that group, let's say kind of that would be 26, 35, or even into maybe the early third round of those later quarterbacks, Aaron Murray included, who I happen to like a lot. Who are the guys that you like the best that could be there?
You know, I like Garoppolo a lot. And, you know, I understand why some people have their questions, you know, coming from the offense that he's coming from at the FCS level. You know, there's a lot of quick reads, a lot of one-read stuff out there. You know, he has happy feet, kind of gets a little flustered at times. But at the same time, I think people have to remember that you're not drafting college quarterbacks, you know, for what they did on the field. You're drafting them for the traits that they have and what you think they can be at the next level. And one thing that Jimmy has is the smart. He's an extremely smart kid. He really tests off the charts in that area. So, to me, Garoppolo, a guy that you can kind of mold and kind of develop into the guy you want. So, I think Jimmy Garoppolo, and, you know, a name that's been really moving up draft boards, it's amazing, is Tom Savage out of Pitt. You know, I don't get it.
I'll come out and say it.
I'm with you. I think he's very much a work in progress. You know, he looks the part. He's a big kid. He's got the big arm, but the tape isn't pretty. But like I said, you know, you're drafting traits. You're drafting these guys for what you think they can be. And so I think there's a good chance we see Savage off the board somewhere in the top 40 picks.
Wow.
If the Texans go Clowney at one, I think 33 their first pick in the second round, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Savage, I think those two guys are names to keep an eye on there.
The thing I would add about Savage, Dane, I think the tape will definitely, if you just stick to that, will definitely make you scratch your head as to why there would be a rising stock here. But here's the thing. The factors such as his limited body of work and that what he did at Pitt in the real only one season he's had was enough to get people to see, okay, this is a project, but a real encouraging project, and it's going somewhere. And when they get to know the guy, this is the feedback I'm getting. He's impressive that way. And I had a longtime offensive coordinator in the league tell me, he doesn't work for the Browns, tell me this guy could be a good one. Those were his exact words, but he, you know, in the same frame that you say could be a good one, not in 2014, maybe not in 15, but somewhere down the line, if you get him to the right team that actually has that kind of time with his coaching staff to bring him along.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's almost to the point where it almost might be a better thing if you only play 1 year, because then that perceived upside is there. You know, you think about, you still have room to grow, and, you know, okay, he did this for 1 year. You know, he'll continue to ascend, and so that perceived upside, definitely a big part of why I think Savage is such a hot commodity right now.
Real quickly before we let you go, Dane, great stuff as always, and you have, I want you to be able to pump this, you're going to have your kind of draft Bible, all of your rankings of all the different prospects, detailed stuff out there that's coming out soon, right? And where can people get that?
Absolutely. You know, it's really my baby. It's something that I've worked on extensively over the last, year. 300 of my top prospects, full profiles, the most extensive profiles you'll find, I promise you that. Follow me on Twitter at DPBrugler. And I'll be tweeting out the exact details about how to get that. So, and you know, I'm not a very good businessman. I'm not, you know, trying to sell this for a lot of money or anything. I love the draft so much. My goal is to get this in people's hands. I want them to, when the Browns
it's
draft,
awesome.
You know, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif in the seventh round, I want, you know, Browns fans to be able to turn to my book and realize, okay, this is where his strengths, his weaknesses, and know everything about him. So
beautiful.
That's really my goal with this book.
Yeah, and I read it last year. It's unbelievable. Definitely look for that at DP Brugler. Final question for me, and then we'll let you run, Dane. Wide receiver. You got Moncrief going to the Browns at 35. I've watched a lot of those guys kind of in that range, Allen Robinson, Jordan Matthews, Moncrief, Latimer, Adams, et cetera. How do you differentiate among those guys, and who's your favorite from that kind of that tier of wide receiver?
You know, give me Brandon Cooks. This is a kid who he's not the biggest, but he's so quick. He's so polished. The way he catches, he's a natural hands catcher. He's a guy that he's not quite Steve Smith, but he's close. He's a guy, he's tough. You know, I'll take Brandon Cooks. To me, he's the third receiver in this draft behind Watkins and Evans. Love what Cooks brings to the field, and if he's there at 26, it's got to be a pretty attractive prospect for the Browns.
Certainly will be. Lots of options for the Cleveland Browns. 10 picks in the draft, 5 in the first 83. They will have an opportunity to make some impact. Dane Brugler, again, follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler. Check him out. His draft Bible will be coming out soon, and it is can't-miss reading if you want to know about these prospects in this draft. Dane, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. That was Dane Brugler. Good. I loved it.
Oh,
great
he's
stuff.
Awesome.
And he's from Ohio, so he is a Browns fan.
Absolutely.
So he's got a good Browns slant when he brings us this information.
A lot of depth, a lot of knowledge, does his homework, talks to a lot of different people, but also formulates a lot of his own opinions.
Oh, sure.
And those are really the analysts I like the best. Because, again, yes, you can go through this thing and say, well, this is what everybody's telling me, but opinions are opinions. Look for yourself and decide for yourself and try to make those same conclusions.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. All right, when we come back, the topic of the day, what would you do with the Browns' top three picks? I still think it's going to be a guy like Khalil Mack, Greg Robinson there at number four, and a help on the line. What do you guys think? And more importantly, what do you want? Let us know, 216-578-0850. Still to come on the show, Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com joins us at 2, and at 2:30 we'll play a little fact or fiction, but we want to be talking to you. We'll do that right after this.